Hello, I'm Sam, and this is Pilgrim Pit Stop. It's a podcast about following Jesus through life's highs and lows. And there's a new episode every other Friday. So I would really love it if you hit subscribe and tell your friends about it as well, if you enjoy what you hear. Here's a little clip of what's coming up today. What is it about this hymn that moves people so deeply? You know, I've been thinking about that over the last few days. All right, let's go. Hello folks, how are you doing? Good to have you here for another episode of Pilgrim Pit Stop. This episode is something of a sequel to the previous episode, actually. I was watching Joe Biden's victory speech as the new president-elect, and I was just, really surprised by how he ended it, to be honest. And I kind of was going to do a podcast on something else this week, but just felt like, you know, I've personally really been fascinated by this election. I know a lot of people have a lot of American listeners to this podcast. I just felt like I wanted to do a follow-up to 2 weeks ago, and I wanted to really hone in on something that he said. So I'm just going to read out how he ended his speech. In the last days of the campaign, I've been thinking about a hymn that means a lot to me and to my family, particularly my deceased son, Beau. It captures the faith that sustains me, and which I believe sustains America. And I hope it can provide some comfort and solace to the more than 230,000 families who have lost a loved one to this terrible virus this year. My heart goes out to each and every one of you. Hopefully this hymn gives you solace as well. And he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand. And now, together, on eagle's wings, we embark on the work that God and history have called upon us to do. Biden's the second Catholic president, he will be the second Catholic president after JFK, and he's been very open about his faith on the campaign trail and really throughout his career. But what's the story behind this Catholic hymn? Now, I'll admit that I knew this hymn, but only really because it had been covered by a group called Shane and Shane that I really like. I really love their music. And but as I looked into it, there's such an amazing story behind this hymn. It's clearly a hymn that means a lot to a lot of people around the world. And in the Catholic denomination, just seems to be incredibly well known and well loved. I wanted to find out some more about the story behind this hymn that was quoted by Joe Biden at the end of this victory speech. Washington, D.C., 1977. Michael Jonkus, a gifted musician, is in his late 20s. He's visiting a friend, Doug Hall, who is studying at a Bible school in D.C., The two go for some dinner. They discuss life, theology, and plans for the future. Having enjoyed an evening of conversation and laughter, they make their way back to Doug's dorm to crash. But their evening takes a turn neither of them was expecting. Doug gets word that his father has died of a heart attack. It's the next day, Doug, still in shock, boards a plane for Omaha to be with his family. Michael travels to Minnesota to stay with his parents. He wants to console his friend, and he's offered to write a piece of music for the wake in a few days' time. He's been reading and rereading Psalm 91. Its words float around him as he sits with a guitar. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, who abides in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your habitation. No evil shall befall you, no scourge come near your tent, for he will give his angels charge of you, to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot, because he cleaves to me in love. I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Michael puts many of these words to a soaring melody to be sung by a soloist. He still needs a refrain, something less adventurous musically that can easily be picked up by the congregation. Here, he looks outside the Psalms to the book of Exodus and to these words from God to Moses. Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. The refrain is written. The piece comes together. Michael would later say, I just wanted to create something that would be both prayerful and then comforting. It's a few days later. Michael rejoins his friend for the wake. To his surprise, when it comes to the new piece of music, the congregation sings through the entire song, verses and refrain. The hymn stays under wraps for some time, but in 1979 is published by North American Liturgy Resources, and this is where it takes on a life of its own. It becomes popular at funerals, baptisms, and weddings, inside and outside the Catholic denomination. In 1995, Michael receives a call that makes him realise just how far it's travelled. On the line is the governor of Oklahoma's wife. She wants On Eagle's Wings to be played at the memorial for those killed in the recent Oklahoma bombing, which left 168 dead. 2 years later, the first Phantom of the Opera, Michael Crawford, sings the song on TV. And 4 years after that, On Eagle's Wings is used across America in memorials for those killed in 9/11. What is it about this hymn that moves people so deeply? You know, I've been thinking about that over the last few days, and I think it's something to do with that central image of God carrying us as if he's carrying us on the wings of eagles. Something about the power of that image, about this idea that life can go completely wrong for us. We can be at our lowest ebb. We can be in a place of real darkness and despair. And at those moments, God will pick us up and carry us when we are too weak to carry ourselves. I've been thinking about some of the conversations that I've had on this podcast over the last year, really, and a recurring theme that seems to come up time and time again is that people find God when they're least expecting it, when things seem to be going wrong, when life is really difficult. I just actually want to play two clips from conversations that I've had. The first is with Julio Abraham. He's the chief executive of Derby City Mission. And he had this to say.
Yeah, and I'd lost some kind of way and identity. So I found myself in a gang. And I found that gang, it was actually more a political gang rather than a criminal gang. but we did some criminal activities within that political gang, if you see what I'm saying. We're trying to redress the apartheid system in my home country, in Africa. And in so doing, we were actually doing some criminal activities. Mm-hmm. So you know, one...
This is in Zimbabwe.
That's right, correct. Yeah. So one wrong doesn't... You don't address a wrong with a wrong. That's what we were doing. But I was hooked into that, and I was almost 5 years into it. Became, you know, a small-time gang leader. One Sunday, actually, very quickly, I met up with a friend who invited me to church. I was actually going to do some bad things. I was on a way to organize some raids and whatnot, and I never actually did my final raid, you know. I didn't know it was gonna be, you know, this, my life was gonna change. So I went with this guy to church, who was invited by some Americans. Got there, and two things happened. On one side, I actually hated what I saw, because my understanding of church was very traditional, very dry, and very ritualistic. Right? And yet these people were happy. So I was thinking, what kind of church is this? You know, this is not church. These people are weird on one hand, right? On the other hand, there was an attraction about what was going on. Although I wasn't approving, something within me was saying, these people seem to be different. They seem to be happy. Something is going on. Anyhow, when the service finished, three guys came to us and they shared with me what they classified as the gospel, you know, that man sinned, that God loved, well, God created man, we sinned, and that Jesus came and he paved the way for us to be restored back into a relationship with God, and that we needed to appropriate this by believing. So at that point, I saw a gleam of light, and I can't really explain it because it was all happening very quickly, within 30, 40 minutes. I saw the light. I can't say I fully understood it as I do now. And in fact, even as I'm speaking to you now, I don't fully understand that, right? But I just saw something and I gave my whole life to God that day and my whole life was changed. I never again went back into the gang life. I was a chain smoker. I never touched any tobacco or anything like that. I was a drunken, an alcoholic, if you like. I used to drink a lot, and I never drank again for 10 years. I mean, I do drink now, champagne.
And it all changed in that instant.
Yeah, but more importantly, actually, forget about the smoking and the drinking and the gang activities. More importantly, what happened is I had an overwhelming sense of love for humanity. For God, it's like, where is this coming from? Suddenly, I love people. Suddenly, I look at people and actually feel this love. And it's like, where is it coming from?
Paul Tutu Van Firth, the co-author of the Book of Forgiving with her father, Desmond Tutu, had this to say.
The character of God is very much a character of presence. For me, God is a God who shows up. And a God who most often shows up in the form and shape of other people. I remember once reading the, you know, once in those pre-Christmas lections, reading about the Annunciation and the angel greets Mary, and Mary's response isn't, "Oh my gosh, who are you? What kind of a being is this?" Mary's response is, "What kind of a greeting is this?" And it made me consider that an angel isn't a specific being, but is rather a messenger of God. And God can send us messengers in any form, even in the most banal forms, the most common of forms. The person next door can be really an angel for you, can be the person who God has sent to you with the message that God wants to convey to you. And in the most difficult times, I have encountered so many angels.
I think one of the reasons why On Eagle's Wings is so popular at funerals is that it's a song that is able to talk about the reality of suffering and mourning and despair, but also about the hope we find in God. And I think you need those two things at funerals and at times of mourning. You need the realism. You need the ability and the freedom and the license to say, you know, this sucks. This is really tough. This is really awful what has happened. But you also need the hope to say there is something beyond this. There is a hope for the future. And I find those two things so beautifully expressed in this hymn, but I also find them so beautifully explored with such richness in the Gospels and in the life of Jesus, who came to earth to confront the darkness head on, to die on the cross for the darkness which we all know is there, we all experience. And I just, for me personally, the gospel message expresses that truth that darkness is not the end, that there is light, that there is a hope for the future in an incredibly realistic way, but also in an incredibly hopeful way. And so that line that Joe Biden read at the end of his speech is just so compelling and so true and so beautiful. And he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand. All right, there we go. Thanks for listening to this episode exploring the song On Eagle's Wings by Michael Jonkus. If you haven't already heard that song, do check it out. It's a beaut. And yeah, really, really powerful song. I think the version that I knew was the Shane and Shane cover, which is a lovely cover. But it's been done by pretty much everyone. I mean, it's been covered so many different times. So do check it out. Awesome. Well, thanks very much for listening to this podcast. I really, you know, I appreciate that. I appreciate you giving up your time and, you know, supporting the podcast in that way. If you want to support the podcast even further, there is a link in the description for this episode, and actually for all episodes now, where you can click that link and you can buy me a coffee. And it's just a really simple way where, you know, you can support the show, you know, put a few pounds in, put a few dollars in, and it just shows that you are supporting the show. I'm just trying to work out where I'm going. I'm getting a little bit lost on this walk. Here we go, let's go left here. Yeah, so that's one way you can support the show. Thanks as always to Mr. Johnny Davies for creating the wonderful theme music, and to Dream Heaven for the music, the additional music that was used in this episode. Make sure you've subscribed to be the first to hear about new episodes. Got one coming out in 2 weeks' time called Painting the Bible, which might be my all-time favourite episode. It's a good one, so you don't want to miss that. Yeah, stay safe, bless you. And speak soon. Bye-bye.